Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560 with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado radio show. I'm Chris Nowak, and with me is Willie Schmidt of Pure Hunting TV on the Sportsman's Channel, and we are filling in for Scott, Red, and Kevin this week as they're out of town. So we really appreciate Scott giving us the opportunity to be the guest hosts, and we're looking for a real interesting show this week, as I'm sure you're all waiting for. So anyways, Willie?
Chris? Doing well. Nice that you were on last week to talk a little bit about our Africa trip and opportunity for us to kind of fill in and become guest hosts today.
Yes, you know, and when we were first told that we had this opportunity, you know, I sat down and we had kind of this items of things that we wanted to discuss, kind of like a little itinerary and how we wanted the show to go. And, well, of course, you know, in the mainstream media this week, we've had a very, very large story as it relates to hunting, you know. And that is with, I think, as most people know, with the African lion named Cecil. So we're going to have that discussion. We'd be amiss if we didn't. We'll start off the show with that anyway, and then we'll wrap it with some of the other stuff. But I think Willie and I at least want to give you our opinions on what happened and, you know, kind of our thoughts on that. So what I'd like to do is let's keep it to the, you know, we don't know the facts, right, Willie? I mean, really nobody knows.
No, we're relying on the mainstream media, which I think, especially if you're on the conservative side of things, is the wrong way to go about. You can't put your... we don't know what people were thinking, what they knew. And with all the social media stuff, it's gotten blown way out of proportion. But as we discussed, we wanted to kick off with this, deal with it early and not for very long, and move on to some other things.
Right. Okay, so with the kind of the facts, not in, you know, let's not talk about the facts, but let's just talk about whether or not it was a legal animal taken or a not a legal animal taken. So give me your thoughts on, let's say this was a poaching incident.
Two things. If it was a poaching incident, anybody involved should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. And in my opinion, they need to quit calling them hunters and call them poachers, because it's putting everybody who values hunting as an honest, ethical pastime, sport, hobby, passion in the wrong light. But if there was anything done illegally, it becomes a poaching incident and everybody should be prosecuted.
I agree. So heartily agree. And we won't know that until the, you know, the Zimbabwe Conservation does their research and their investigation, which I guess is going to, you know, going to be happening. So
that's right. And I think one thing that's important is when the mainstream media puts things out there, they give probably just enough facts, but to the uneducated person, it comes across as an illegal activity or potentially an unethical activity. Having just come back from Africa, I've been before and I lived there in 1982, the press is making it sound like baiting a lion is illegal. That's not. That is the way you hunt lions in Africa. Neither one of us know the Zimbabwe laws well enough, but baiting is a legal activity. Hunting at night is a legal activity. This was shot on somebody's private property. It was not shot on the preserve. So assuming this landowner had the correct tags, the ability to sell this hunt, that was a legal activity.
Right. So what if, well, I should say not what if, but, you know, based on our experiences, you know, we just got back from Africa. So we know the positives and we know we've been there, we saw it, you know. It's kind of like you really can't have an opinion until you've been there and you see it. So why don't you just kind of explain, you know, elaborate a little bit on that, what really Africa hunting is all about.
Well, there's a bunch of different ways. There's obviously the big dangerous game, the big five that takes place. There's also a lot of the just the plains game. But the vast majority of at least South Africa is a high fence operation. These animals are there for hunting. And whether you like it or not, it is an industry over there. And what it does is it does provide great economic value for the country. And it does the same for Zimbabwe and other countries that allow hunting. Obviously, those big five bring in more dollars. They're longer safaris, and they provide more to the economic value of those countries. I mean, there are shuttle services, private airplanes, guides, outfitters, known as PHs over there, skinners, trackers, people who take care of the lodging and accommodations that would not have jobs if it weren't for the hunting industry. So whether you like it or not, I mean, for me to convince an anti-hunter or an animal lover why I do what I do and that this is just the way the hunting industry works and that hunting tourism, they're not going to understand it, no more than I will understand how they put human emotions, human thoughts on a wild animal. But that's the facts. That is what it is. And that's a viable big business in all of South Africa.
Yes. And, you know, I think the other lesson we can learn, or at least opportunity, a lot of times, you know, you look at it, this is an opportunity. I mean, this is mainstream media. Hunting is getting a lot of attention. Unfortunately, most of the time, it gets negative attention when it hits the mainstream media. But I think for all hunters out there, this is now the opportunity to educate. As we say, stay strong as hunters, you know. And when people approach us, like, I mean, I worked this week. I had, like, four people come up to me and wanted to know my opinions and what, you know, how did this happen? How does it work? You know, and when I finally explained to them, this is probably what happened, you know, they understood. You know, they're like, oh, well, that's not what I heard in the media, you know. And so from that perspective, like, what is our message, you know, to the non-hunters out there that might not have all the facts, that, you know, are emotionally giving their opinions, you know, because, you know, non-hunters, their only relationships they have with animals are their pets, you know. So sometimes I can feel for a non-hunter who says, you know, how could you have shot this animal? Because the only dealings they have with animals is Fido. You know, their beloved family pet, and they can't imagine anybody shooting an animal. And I understand that. And I think as hunters, we need to understand that too, and then to be able to educate and explain why we do what we do, you know, and the good things that it's doing.
That's right. And also just to expand on what the press is doing. One thing that has come out, of course, this lion lived the bulk of his life on a preserve, essentially a national park where hunting is not allowed. We have those here in the United States. But to think that these animals do not cross over borders, assuming there's not a physical barrier, a high fence or a brick wall they can't scale, they move around. Sometimes their ranges are pretty significant. In Yellowstone National Park or right here in Colorado Rocky Mountain National Park, obviously we don't have big cats. But if there is a trophy elk that lives in Rocky Mountain National Park, but due to the rut or just changing, you know, snowfall or what have you, moves his location, he goes on private property or public land, any of us would have the opportunity to harvest it, assuming we had the tag and had the right to be there. It's no different. But the press has skewed this, that he was this protected lion, and he is, as long as he is within the boundary of that national park or preserve. The minute he leaves, assuming all other things are taken care of, he is legal to be taken by a hunter.
Yeah, and, you know, and along with that, it's the education of why we hunt, you know. Okay, this is the law aspect of why we hunt. You know, these are the rules, you know. Every state has their own rules. I tell people, you know, we have to abide by rules. There's, you know, there's also just the underlying ethics, you know, that you're taught as you're growing up, your father's, you know, instilled into you, or as you learn through a hunter's safety course, you know. Besides the rules, there's also the ethics. And I tell them that, you know, and people that, and it's like, you know, we don't want to see any undue harm to any animal. We are killing an animal. You know, there's no doubt about that. But we want to see a quick, humane way to die. You know, we are not wasting any of the meat. You know, we are using it to feed our families. We're using it to feed the hungry or whatever that may be. You know, and then, you know, let's talk about the conservation aspect and the dollars raised through hunters that allows this hunting in Africa and allows hunting here in the States.
Well, wherever it is, hunting is conservation, period. I mean, it's a tagline of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and lots of other conservation organizations use that, and it is true. My dad was a wildlife biologist and taught big game management in Colorado State University, and there was a case study where hunting was outlawed in a county in Pennsylvania. I may not get the state right, whatever, and they were so proud of themselves. Within a couple of years, the deer population just boomed. After about 5 years, it dramatically started dropping. There was no hunting to take care and sustain the herds, and they ate themselves out of house and home, started dying of malnutrition and disease. And so that's just one small case where hunting does maintain the population base. There are very educated people out there, biologists and otherwise, that are doing their jobs to say, what is a healthy population over this landscape? What can it sustain? And hunting is used to balance that out. And so it doesn't matter where it is. And people don't like to think that lions have a healthy population. Is it a little low? Is it a little high? It is a sustainable population, and hunting is used to balance that out. So conservation is a huge component of, hunting is a huge component of conservation and wouldn't exist if it weren't for conservation.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, back in the 1900s, you know, there were no animals in the United States, not a lot of wild game in the United States. You know, we had, as an expanding country, everybody, you know, lived off the land, market hunters and whatnot, provided meat for the butchers. You know, we didn't have all the cattle farms and whatnot that we have today, cattle, chicken, whatever. And, you know, they ate all the four-legged creatures we had. So it was, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and that whole era that realized, the hunters that realized, there's no game left. Mm-hmm. And we have to do something to preserve that.
That's right.
You know, and people always tell me, hey, you know, how can you raise money and conserve animals yet you still want to shoot them? And it's like, well, because I enjoy it, whatnot, and I want that to continue for other people,
future generations.
Well, anyway, we got a quick break here, and I will get back to Willie here, and we'll have maybe a little wrap-up on our Cecil conversation, and then we'll move on to other subjects.
Sounds good.
Tired of going into a gun shop after hearing an ad only to find they have only a few guns and no ammo? Get into the zone, the reloading zone. From handguns to ARs, the reloading zone has it all. Need to get your concealed carry permit? Reloading Zone has a few openings this month. Call now, 303-431-GUNS. That's 303-431-4867. Check out their website, thereloadingzone.com. Get into the zone. The Reloading Zone.
Hi, Dan Johnson, General Manager at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. And if you're trying to sell your car or truck, be careful of online advertising. There's lots of scammers and criminals that make their living on the internet. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet will pay top dollar for your used vehicle in just 15 minutes, and the money is good. On the web at LynnLyleChevy.com.
In a flash from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of FleshLaw.com. FleshLaw will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries. Call 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Get the money you need. FleshLaw. The trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
John Rush during the Afternoon Rush, weekdays from 3 to 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of the Colorado Radio Talk Show. I'm Chris Nauck, and with me is Willie Schmidt of Pure Hunting TV. And looks like we have a caller here, and we're going to take the call. Hello, Bondo, are you on there?
Yes, sir. I'm going to violate your rules and get off subject here. Is that okay?
Have at it. What do you have? What's on your mind, Bondo?
I've got a serious question. I'm very worried. I was diagnosed with cancer this week, and they're going to have to do surgery, and I'm kind of a little scared of it, and I've got a lot of guns, and this new stupid gun laws, where you can't transfer the guns and all that, like to my wife.
Yes.
And do you guys, are you familiar with that?
Not well enough to give you any advice, Bondo.
Well, can you give me a website or a phone number?
You bet. In fact, I understand you're a regular listener here,
and Scott
Watley has the Haystack Helpline.
Yeah.
He can give you some advice, as well as Kevin Flesh, who is also on the radio, and he's an attorney as well as knows the gun laws. I would be, both Chris and I would be very hesitant to give you any advice because we might steer you in the wrong direction, but Kevin can certainly take what you've got going on and give you the legal advice on how to take care of this.
Yeah, that's the Democrats' life dream, is to confuse everybody.
Yeah.
Like I said, I fought, we recalled some people and all that over the gun laws, and I'm just worried because, you know, you get a feeling, and I got to go in for surgery the 11th, and I just got a bad feeling.
Well, we're so sorry to hear that and wish you all the luck and hopefully a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I know Kevin can help you out, and I don't disagree with your thoughts and concerns. I think any law-abiding gun owner right now is worried.
Like I was trying to explain to my wife, I said, I can transfer my guns to you, but if you give them to your kids and something comes up where them kids are stopped or they check the serial number and trace them back to me, then the kid's in trouble and you're in trouble, you know?
That's correct.
And that's what I need to get a clarification. I thought there was a form you could fill out to transfer. And I got a lot of guns. My best friend down here was Fred Siebert, that owned a gun shop. And I'm gun poor. But if there's a website or this show that you're talking about.
Can we give you a phone number?
Sure, please.
Absolutely. This is Scott's Haystack Helpline, and Kevin and Scott can help you out. Go ahead, Chris.
You got a pencil there?
Yes, sir.
303.
Okay.
333. Help.
H-E-L-P. That's what I'm hollering right now.
And that would be 4357.
I can figure it out. Anyway, I didn't want to change your subject. And that lion, I think he's getting too much attention.
That's the downside of social media. We'd agree.
And lifespan's like the 15. He was 15. But anyway, Haystack Help. And who runs that show?
Scott Hastings and Kevin Flesh.
Scott. Yeah, I listen to them every once in a while. But I want to thank you guys, and I love 560. I've been getting all my friends to listen.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the support.
I misspoke. Scott Watley and
I know
Kevin
John
Flesh.
Rush,
I appreciate
pretty good.
It. Well, we wish you all the best. Nobody would want to be going through what you're going through, but we'll send you our prayers, Bondo.
With my prostate, so I'm a little scared this time.
I understand. Good luck to you, and thanks for the call, Bondo.
You guys have a good day.
You as well.
All righty. So, well, we left off talking about Cecil, and let's just maybe kind of do a little kind of quick wrap-up of, you know, I kind of ended it on the, you know, conservation and, you know, what we as hunters, since we are getting a lot of attention now, what's our message to those non-hunters? Kind of your last thoughts, if I came to you and said, you know, what the heck, Willie? You know, you're shooting lions now? What's going on?
First of all, I did not shoot a lion, and I really have no desire to, but that's neither here nor there. I think it's really just to educate them on the facts. And like I said, you can't tell somebody what you feel as a hunter and really why. You can explain that it's we were brought up that way. It's part of who we are, the way we do it here, you and I and of our friends. We utilize every bit of the animal, whether we're eating it, giving it to friends, family. There is a trophy aspect. You hang it on the wall, which is for memories. It's not necessarily for bragging rights. But there's a lot of uneducated people out there giving their opinions and somewhat quite heated opinions and death threats over something that they really don't understand. So I think we as hunters just need to unite, give the facts, We won't convince them that it's right or wrong what we do. Just explain why we do it and what we believe just as strongly as they believe what they believe. Agree to disagree and move on. But the death threats and the attention this has gotten, I think Bondo said it very well. This animal and this issue has gotten far more attention than it needs to get for something halfway around the world. People never would have even known about it had it not been for social media. But as you say, it's here, and let's use it as an opportunity to educate people, and hunters need to unite and stand up for what we believe in.
Fantastic. Well, let's start talking about some happy things now, like season four of Pure Hunting. I know we've got a couple episodes under the belt already on the Sportsman's Channel. What do the viewers have to look forward here for our, I think we got, seven remaining episodes?
We do.
What do they have to look forward to?
Well, we've aired episodes 1, 2, and 3. We are re-airing those right now, and we're kind of coming into the heart of the season, which I think is pretty exciting and some epic hunts. We were in to talk with Scott and Red a while ago about a year ago about the tags that we both had drawn, but more specifically you had drawn, those once-in-a-lifetime tags, and they panned out pretty well, and I think some very neat episodes. A couple of mountain goat episodes. You and I were hunting down around Silverton. Your desert bighorn sheep around Grand Junction, and, of course, your Colorado Shiras moose tag. So we've already aired the Shiras moose tag. Got a lot of great feedback on that. We're do-it-yourself public land. You did it with a bow, which we also did with our mountain goats. We'll let people know the results when they watch the episodes, but I think that's episode 6 and 7. And then your desert bighorn sheep actually kicks off as episode 4. So pretty exciting stuff, once-in-a-lifetime tags. I don't think you and I ever profess to be the biggest, the best of anything, but we're just trying to hunt hard what we believe our passion is and share this story with people and hopefully encourage people to take advantage of the opportunities that are out there.
You know, I keep pinching myself, and I guess I feel very blessed that I can actually relive that season from last year, you know. Like you said, to draw those three tags, it's never been done before. You know, that particular combination of desert sheep, Shiras moose, and then the mountain goat. And then give the end of the story away, but then to, you know, have very exciting hunts and to be able to have the time and the people to do it with. You know, it was, I want to thank you personally, too, for throwing the cameraman there. And I feel very fortunate to be part of Pure Hunting, so...
Well, it's been fun, and you know we're getting geared up for filming for this fall, and we've got some good hunts planned. It's not nearly as epic as last year, but along with that, you know, editing the episodes for season 4 and remaining, and it is a ton of fun to relive it, to tell the story, and just see the footage all over again, and share it with people. It's people say you've got my dream job, and I say, well, careful what you wish for. It is a lot of fun. When you love what you do, it feels a lot less like work. But as somebody said last night when I was explaining to them, they said it's still work, and it does take a lot of time and energy, but I'm enjoying it. And just to be able to share those experiences with people, it's still hard to believe we're in the heart of season 4. I thought a lot of shows are there for 1 and 2 years and then just kind of go away for a variety of reasons. And pretty fortunate that we've got the support that we have to help us continue on.
You know, a lot of people, at least ask me anyway, about our equipment. You know, I mean, yeah, we do both bow and gun. We are very fortunate to have some very good sponsors. And why don't you elaborate a little bit on that and why we chose the sponsors we did and the performance we had, especially on that Africon. I mean... The gear we took to Africa, it just blew me away how well it performed. I mean, I was in shock, you know, hearing just how big and tough these animals are, you know, how hard they are to kill. We didn't have any problems with that.
No, you and I didn't. I think more importantly, and what you were as impressed with was my kids going over there and the results that they had. I mean, we're all shooting Hoyt bows. This is not going to be a huge sponsor plug, but I think it's important to plug the sponsors a little bit. Hoyt bows, they all perform great. Both my kids are shooting the Hoyt Charger. My son's a 15-year-old. He's a little smaller stature, and so just starting out, he's pulling 42 pounds, and you hear how tough those animals are. But he did a a fantastic job. I mean, practiced. I was on both kids on, you know, when we're there, you need to make good ethical shots. And for Tristan to be pulling 42 pounds and especially take a blue wildebeest, which they say is one of the toughest. It's known as the poor man's Cape Buffalo for a lot of reasons. And I was sitting right behind his shoulder as he shot that blue wildebeest with 42 pounds, quartering away, great shot, and we actually watched it drop. And hard to believe. And it's, yes, it's a combination of shot placement, most importantly. But those broadheads we used, the Grim Reaper broadheads, he was using the fixed blade Hades. And with that poundage, I talked with Matt Bateman at Grim Reaper, asked what he suggested, didn't want an expandable, didn't have enough kinetic energy, and it performed great. My daughter Samantha's pulling 50 pounds, and she was using the same broadhead and did wonderfully.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. We did videotape a lot of that hunt, and to see the replay of the shots that they made at that age, you know, 15 and 18 years old, with a PH standing there, with your father standing there, you know, with a trophy African animal standing, you know, in front of you, and the shots they made were amazing. And like you said, what I was so shocked about was the performance of their equipment. You know, I think Sam, she had a complete pass through on her water buck, which, you know, a lot of people don't know is the size of our elk.
Mm-hmm.
And to see a 50-pound bow, you know, zip an arrow through, you know, an animal that large with a perfect shot, I mean, it was truly, you know, almost making myself think that we have too much. You and I are pulling too much. But anyway, we're going to take a short break again, Willie, and we'll continue this conversation.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesh for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorSports.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store. Family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekday afternoons at 3 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman's of Colorado radio show. Again, I'm Chris Nowak, and with me is Willie Schmidt. We're both from Pure Hunting TV, and we are the guest hosts this week, and we're proud to be that. We kind of wrapped up talking about before the last break of some of the equipment we had and how it works so well in Africa.
Yeah, we talked about Hoyt bows and Grim Reaper broadheads, and of course the clothing we took was Browning. They're a big sponsor both on the firearm and clothing side. But I think just to talk briefly, you were on last week talking to Scott and Red. They had been to Africa with Hunting Legends about a month before we went, and we went because you were fortunate enough to win a trip a year and a half ago at the International Sportsman's Expo, and I was thankful you asked me to go along, and I lived there in 1982, so I knew South Africa, and lots changed since then, and then was back in 2006 with my wife and family, but this was the first one with my kids, and to watch you and my kids experience Africa through your eyes was something pretty special. From the hunting standpoint, the culture standpoint, going to Kruger National Park and just experiencing it from a wildlife lover's perspective, that's one last thing. I think people think hunters are not wildlife lovers, and I would argue so strongly against that. We do it because we love the wildlife, and I would just enjoy filming and videoing it as I do hunting. But I think we ought to talk a little bit about Hunting Legends. Not a lot. They've gotten a lot of play here on the radio, but we haven't really talked about it. And I know there's a ton of choices for South African outfitters and PHs, but you and I haven't talked on the radio and just kind of our experience, and maybe give people a sense of what they ought to look at if it's sort of a dream hunt of theirs.
You know, and you can't, as you mentioned, Will, you can't say enough about Hunting Legends Africa and Steven Vandermeer, Philip, and the, assortment of PHs, trackers,
accommodations,
house staff, accommodations, food. I was probably more excited about the food than anything. I mean, I love onions, and I love kind of real tasty spicy food.
Oh, you like sweets, too.
Oh, and I love sweets, and I'll tell you, it was... as I mentioned last week, it was the most pampered, we don't do, guided hunts.
That's right.
That's not our MO. And so we do everything ourselves. We do our research like, 99% of all the hunters do. They do it on their own. And to actually experience the red carpet treatment like that and the how pampered I felt, almost felt useless other than, pulling the trigger on my bow. I felt pretty useless, can't say enough good things,
No, I agree. They've done, you develop some arguably lifelong friendships. Our PH, Armand, and yours, Sampi, were great. And they weren't only with us for the days in the blind, the nights afterwards, but when we went to Kruger National Park, they were our tour guides, set everything up. And it really helps to have somebody local to be able to speak the local language. Yes, English is very much, it's almost a bilingual country, but the Afrikaners over there still speak Afrikaans and aren't as willing to speak English at times. So if you can have somebody acting on your behalf speaking the local language, it's huge. So we really had a great experience. I would say one thing, if somebody's interested in an African safari, certainly look at Hunting Legends. And I think we'll wrap up this maybe segment with a show special that they're doing. But that is one thing that I would have to be honest with somebody. And it was a shock to my daughter who... As I raised my kids, as you were raised, the relationship you have with an animal that you have just taken in the field is a big relationship. I mean, not only do you scout it, stalk it, and shoot it, but then you process it, field dress it. We process our own meats. We maybe have some help from Steve's meats for some specialty stuff, but we freeze it, we put it in the freezer, then we cook it and eat it. And over there, because of the pampering and because a lot of people going over there don't want that, you do have a little bit of a disconnection with the animal, which was a bit of a disappointment for my daughter. And I think any Western hunter going over there would just need to be aware of that. So, when you're going over there, just be aware that you are not going to be doing all the things that you do here. I mean, you kind of shoot the animal, you take the field photos, and then the skinners, trackers take it on. But I will also say that everything over there is used. The meat is used. You eat it. Obviously, you can't eat a whole animal in a week's stay. But it's donated to a lot of the tribes people and the locals. And everything is used.
All right, Willie. Well, it looks like we got a caller. Bondo is calling back. And hold on a second. Oh, I think we lost him.
All right.
Hunting Legends, I know Scott gave a promo last week, and this week they're having even a better promotion, and I almost died when I saw this one. But they're giving anybody till August 16th, so you got 2 weeks to think about this, but you get a 9-day safari, you get 7 days of hunting, you get 3 animals, okay, and your round trip airfare paid for. From Atlanta, Washington, D.C., or New York, so you have to get there, for $4,750. And that's everything included. No other charges, nothing. And as you know, my airfare was $2,500. So $4,700. You get three animals. Your airfare is included, plus
your accommodations.
All your accommodations. And these accommodations are five star. So, like I said, we can't say enough about Hunting Legends Africa and Stefan. If you're interested, talk to us, or you can call Stefan. His number is 303-588-6270. That is his American cell phone. You're welcome to call him.
And he's here on a Texas tour of some trade shows down in Texas, and that's what the deadline for August 16th is until the show season is over. But give him a call. I think also we got Bondo calling back in, but real quick, come January if you're interested, but you can't pull the trigger that quick on August 16th, Stefan and several of the PHs will be back here in Colorado, in Denver, for the International Sportsman's Expo. And you and I will be working with Scott as well as Phil Mendoza at No Limits Archery to maybe put a meet and greet together so we can show some video, talk about it, and actually meet these people.
All right. We're going to Bondo here. Bondo, you're on.
Yes, sir. I want to give you guys kudos that you wouldn't believe. I dialed that number. Scott picked up the phone, and he said, I heard your conversation. I'm in Missouri.
Oh, well, good.
And he's going to talk to Kevin Blesch, which is a lawyer, and he's going to have Kevin call me.
Fantastic.
I love this station.
Well, you know, thank you for all your support. And yeah. Like I said, we prayers to you and your family, and we hope, you know, your surgery this coming week here is going to be very successful, and you heal well, and you get to shoot all those guns again.
I hope so. But I just want to, you guys, you seniors out there, if you need some help with something, you call this station. Them are good people.
Bondo, thanks so much.
God bless you all.
Thank you. In this day and age, customer service is so important, so it's nice to know that they're living up to the reputation that they've put out there.
I've always got good information from you guys, and you're up to date and everything, but I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Took the load off my mind.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, Bondo.
You too, my friend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Bondo.
And thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. You know, listeners, August 4th, this week, we got a big deadline here in the state of Colorado. The remaining leftover tags go on sale. That is August 4th, I think at 9 o'clock usually in the mornings when you can be there. There's thousands of leftover tags, mostly, of course, probably antlerless, but... that's something I do every year, you know. I get my A tag, you know, and I guarantee to add a little meat to the freezer, I go and get my B tag. So what do you do? What B tags do you got lined up for this year?
Well, I'm kind of waiting for the rest of the setting my schedule up for a couple of hunts that have been on the back burner. But other than that, I mean, an antlerless elk tag is always a great one. I think we have an opportunity at an antlerless deer tag. So I'll be probably online. I won't be going down unless I think of something specific that I want. But I think you can do it all online, or you can go to any registered agent, stand in line, and actually get your ticket right then and there.
Yep. So I know I'm always there at about 7 o'clock in the morning, trying to be the first couple ones in line, you know, those coveted remaining leftover tags. So everybody, August 4th, remember, get your tags. We're going to have another guest, a special guest, Phil Mendoza. And fortunately for Phil, he drew a Rocky Mountain sheep tag this year. And so he couldn't join us today, but he is the owner and operator of No Limits Archery. And they just opened up their brand new shop. It's like 1,600 square feet. They've got like 30 to 40 targets indoors.
Out to 40 yards inside.
Out to 40 yards. I know they've got their dart system. And I think the big change with No Limits from their old location is they're now going to have an outdoor 3D course.
Yes.
And I don't think it's set up yet, but we're real excited to see it when it is.
It was a little delayed in opening. I talked with Phil somewhat on a regular basis. He and Raphael and everybody who works there, Bo and Mark, that that it took a long time. The weather in May really set them back on all the outside work. But now that they're open and they just sent an email out yesterday, they're official. I'd encourage everybody to go by. I think the address is 3050 East 78th Avenue. And great archery shop, great people, very passionate about what we do. They help me get my bows set up for my kids for Africa. I know they've helped Scott get set up. It's just one of those relationships that we've got along with Scott and Red, and would encourage anybody interested in getting involved in archery, who you've got any archery questions, you want an upgrade in your equipment, or you just want a place to shoot, head on over to No Limits Archery.
You said that right. I've got that new Hoyt that I got to get all set up. So, Phil, I know you're not listening, but I'll be heading over there real soon.
Well, and I can tell you, Phil is definitely in sheep shape. The other thing that's going on this weekend is the Nationals of Train to Hunt right here in Colorado.
Oh, so Columbine Archery. Phil's going to miss it this year. He was the reigning champion.
Yeah, and I know it was killing him to know which he ought to do, but a once-in-a-lifetime tag, he's proved himself. I mean, he won Arizona as a qualifier this year. He won Nationals last year and won two qualifying events. Phil's a beast, and he ought to do very, very well. He can certainly shoot, so I'm worried about the sheep out there. So hopefully he can have a wonderful season and get and put that once-in-a-lifetime tag to use.
Yeah, I have all my – if there's anybody I've got confidence in, it's Finn Phil. So anyway, we're going to take another short break here, and then we'll be wrapping up the show here. This is Chris and Willie with Pure Hunting. We'll get back to you soon.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
If you want to save money on a new Chevrolet, you're making a big mistake if you don't shop Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We have the lowest prices and the highest trade-in values. This month, we are offering 15% off most new Chevrolets. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you're lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant, tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
In a flash from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of FleshLaw.com. FleshLaw will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries. Call 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Get the money you need. FleshLaw, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
John Rush during the Afternoon Rush, weekdays from 3 to 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman's of Colorado Radio Show. I'm Chris Nock, again with Willie Schmidt of Pure Hunting TV. And we are the guest host this week, since Scott, Red, and Kevin are off enjoying the weekend, I think. So,
I'm just glad of the opportunity. I hope everybody enjoys this better than a re-air of an old episode. If not, let us know. I mean, we do have one segment left and would love to hear from anybody on any topic, so certainly feel free to call in. You can call in to 303-477-5600. I also just heard from Scott Whatley that he's listening as well, as Bondo had said, that if you have any questions on Hunting Legends, don't get through to Stefan. I'm sure you will as long as he's in the country, but if not, feel free to give Scott a call. Scott Whatley's number is 720-201-8585. Again, you can call him any questions either on the show or about Hunting Legends, 720-201-8585. And I think you and I would certainly give our information out. They can go to purehunting.com and they can contact us, have any questions about the show, about Hunting Legends or anything else that we've talked about, or just reach out to us. I mean, one of the things that's kind of fun is hearing from fans, asking questions, making comments about the show, shows that they've seen, and that's something that I really enjoy getting.
You know, Will, and you know, it's kind of surprising, as the topic that we started off with, you know, such the emotional, the passion of the hunting and the anti-hunters, you know, like that. I'm really shocked we haven't even heard from our non-hunting community. Maybe we're doing a good job of filtering them out.
Either that or because it's called Sportsmen of Colorado, they aren't listening. I don't know. But I'm sort of glad about that. I think we'll both easily stand up and fight for what we believe in. But I think it also shows that, you know, Americans in general have very short attention spans. When something good happens, we quickly forget it, which is unfortunate. When something bad happens, we sometimes quickly forget it as well. And in a case like this, this will blow over. But we have so many other important topics here on our own soil to be worried about and fighting about, other than a lion that maybe, and I stress maybe, was shot illegally clear over and in Zimbabwe.
Right. And, you know, I saw it, you know, and for, you know, the Zimbabweans who are listening to all this from people from around the world, I mean, they got to almost be, you know, laughing. It'd be like if for some odd reason the world all of a sudden decided that American football was too violent and that we should end it. You know, let's ban American NFL football. We, you know, can you imagine the response Americans would give back if the world decided that, you know, sign a petition to end our NFL football? I mean, come on. You know, and I think that's the same thing that, you know, the Zimbabweans would probably feel. You know, it's like, hey, this is our country. This is what we do. And, you know, leave us alone.
Well, it's interesting. There's an app that my PH, Armand, had turned me on to called WhatsApp. It's similar to a text message, but allows you to invite people to groups and whatnot. And he pinged me, and I, this morning, actually, I said, what's the vibe over there regarding Cecil the Lion issue in Zimbabwe? And here he is, a lot closer in South Africa than we are over here in Denver, Colorado. He says, we haven't heard much on the news, but I think the States is going to take a bad knock. And that is just probably our nature. And he's absolutely correct. But I guess it just goes to show you that the people that this should obviously be most affected, the people most affected by this, are the least affected by it. And I'm not saying people don't have good intentions out there, but there are other things, and if you really want to help, I've seen this a few times, support these people over there. There are African children dying multiple deaths per day from malnutrition and everything else, and they're worried about, again, a lion that potentially was shot illegally. I don't understand where the effort and agenda is. It's there, but that's from a guy in South Africa right now who's hardly hearing anything on the news.
Mm-hmm. So what preparations have you taken so far to get ready for this year, Will? I mean, everybody knows the hunting season is right around the corner. I mean, here, what, 2 weeks, antelope season is going to be starting. I know I've got a general over-the-counter tag. I'm going to be trying to get my first antelope with a bow, you know. So what are you doing right now?
Well, first of all, in some places it started. We just said Phil's already up there with his sheep tag here in Colorado, not up in the Yukon or Canada or Alaska. But you know, training is always important. I fully believe in the train to hunt thing and go year round, just so there isn't that lull. Although 16 days in Africa, I did not do what I should have done. But running and working out and getting ready. Bow is dialed in. Probably need to shoot a couple of rifles because we do have a couple rifle tags later in the season. And frankly, one thing, and it's a tough thing to deal with. When you are filming the way we film on public lands, is I am working with I'm working with the Forest Service in a couple of spots to handle the film permits. And as you and I have discussed, I mean, we try to do everything above board. And that's just one other thing to get ready for. It's certainly gear, make sure your gear's ready, camping equipment, everything else. But that's another part that goes along with it.
Yeah, this is almost kind of like Christmas for us. You know, this is the time of year we stock up on all our equipment. We go through our equipment. We touch everything. We make sure everything's in proper working order. And if we're short of anything, oh, my God, you know, we have to run down to Cabela's or we have to run to Bass Pro, you know. Isn't that awful, you know?
What a problem to have.
What a problem to have. And, you know, the other thing I think is it's getting a lot of attention nowadays is nutrition, you know. And you can't, you know, hike the mountains like we do and eat junk. You know, you can't just have a candy bar and a peanut butter sandwich, you know. And I know when years ago, that's what we did, you know, and you'd bonk and, it was tough. And then the stuff they have now, the recovery drinks, the replacement meals, now whether it's a Wilderness Athlete, whether it's some other brand, I think people really need to take care of their bodies when they want to come out west, or when you're doing a big elk hunt. And I'm not, you know, we're not getting any younger, and I have just found that stuff works. I mean, it works, you know. I mean, the recovery, the cramping, you know, because when you're hiking day in and day out, 8-9 days in a row, you know, you need that recovery. And for those folks that, you know, have maybe a little harder time hiking the mountains, or they're questioning on elk hunt, or they know they get winded, or they're cramping or whatever, really check out the nutritional side of hunting. It's really changing the sport.
It really is. And you mentioned Wilderness Athlete. I've used them for years, and we just actually came to an agreement to work a little more closely together. But they've got some great, great supplements. Again, there's a ton of them out there. It's just like if somebody asked me about a bow, I say, look, we use Hoyt. There's a bunch of good ones out there. I'd be remiss in not saying you need to check out Hoyt, but use what works for you. And I've been real happy with Wilderness Athlete. Their flavors are great, and they have everything from high altitude stuff to help you with altitude, to meal replacement shakes, to hydrate and recovery, to energy and focus, something that doesn't have any sugar that keeps you going throughout the day. So that is huge. The other thing, I think, other than staying in shape, and you've taken some guys from out east hunting, and they say they're getting in shape, people, I don't think, really expect to deal with what you have to deal with out here, the way we hunt. So give it that extra push. And then make sure your equipment's in order. I have had a couple of people who don't even really start shooting their bow that I know of until the 20th of August. And it's not so much for you. You certainly have to have the confidence going in the field, but you owe it to any animal you're going after to have the confidence that you're shooting. If you're not shooting and you're shooting groups at 8 inches at 20 yards in controlled situations, your adrenaline will be rushing. That animal likely won't be standing there giving you the exact broadside shot at 20, totally relaxed. There's a whole bunch of other factors, the wind's blowing, everything else. It's probably a little too late. It's never too late, but you should start shooting your bow or your gun now to know it and have the confidence that you are going to make a good, clean, ethical kill.
That's it. And those are all the things, you know, as good hunters, as ethical hunters, that's what we do. You know, like you said, we practice year round. We know our equipment. We know when we place that shot, it's going to go where we want it to. Yes, we're not all perfect, and sometimes we have an errant shot, but, you know, 99% of the time, the arrow does find its mark, you know. So those are all critical things in the way pure hunting, in the way we hunt, you know. So
that's right. Nothing's perfect, but give yourself every opportunity to be successful in the field.
Yeah, I've got a friend coming out from Wisconsin this year, and we're going into Unit 76. He's waited 13 years, and, you know, I have scared the living daylights out of him, you know. He has come out here, hunted a few times for us, and he knows he's in now for a 2-week, you know, up and down the mountain chasing his once-in-a-lifetime bull. And every week I call him and scare the living daylights out of him and get in shape. So,
well, we've been there. We've experienced it. Are you going to take him down in the hellhole that we went down that time? Because that'll scare even guys like you and me.
I don't know if I'll take him out on the first day. I don't want to burn him out on the very first day, but yeah, we're not seeing animals, and I want him to take home a nice bull, and I'm going to take him wherever he needs to go to get that nice bull.
Fantastic. So, well, Chris, it's been a ton of fun, and I really appreciate Scott and Red giving us this opportunity, and Kevin. Certainly would ask for everybody's support with Pure Hunting and some of the other actually good shows that are here with Outback Outdoors and some of those folks that are local in Colorado. But check out purehunting.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/purehunting. And would just welcome any comments, conversations, feedback on any episodes. And we're coming up on the heart of the season, as I mentioned, with a couple of really epic hunts. But love what we're doing. Love having you be a part of it. And if you got any questions about the gear we've got or anything like that, we're here to answer any questions. So I just want to thank everybody, again, Scott and Red, for the opportunity to do this, but also for all the every hunter out there for what you do. Let's stand up together for our rights. And just look forward to any feedback anybody might have.
Yes, everybody, start shooting your bows, get your gear together. Hunting season's just right around the corner. And let's stay strong. Let's send the message out, like Willie said. Anybody ask you any questions about Cecil the Lion, this is it. You know, tell them what we've talked about. Let's get the message out. This is the time to do it. Well, for Chris Nowak,
and Willie Schmidt.
Thanks, Scott, Red, and Kevin. And this is Sportsman of Colorado Radio Show, signing off.